Gotta grab Rob. That was for me.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, let's go, bloody.
Well, wait, you talking to the time.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. Nope. Let's do it. Yes, sir.
Just gotta let that roll. Gotta let that ride. America, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We had a little week off, but we are back. We are refreshed. We're ready to go. And I think we have an idea where the catch is now. Just want to let you guys know. We're ready to talk about this. A lot of things to discuss here. So we are officially ready to go on this March the 27th. Man, guys, this month is flying by. We are probably about 30-something days away from the NFL draft, so we got a lot of things to talk about. Got to talk about NCAA, NBA, a lot of things to discuss. But as always, let's kick it off with my fellas. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. I got like a week or so to get over that Cincinnati debacle and then getting beaten in the fantasy playoffs. I think I needed that refresher, but, you know, Rob and his, you know, globe tried himself, you know, he can't be pinned down to get on the call, so that's a story for another day, but, you know, I ain't gonna mess with it too much.
Oh, man, let's talk about the globe trotting. Rob Ford, how you doing, Rob?
Man, doing great, no complaints, trying to make it do what it do, baby.
Oh, man.
I'm in Atlanta, meeting with y'all local officials and see how they felt about that South region. Go to Chicago against Kansas State.
They hated it. That's not what they wanted.
You know what? And it sucks, too. You know, I know we're going to get caught up in what you ate, Rob, and all that fun stuff, too, and we'll pull out the numbers, too. But I just want to say for the playoffs, just think if I were to beat Pastor Rock, you know, we wouldn't be here, man. I'm just saying. Again, I'm not, like, throwing shade or anything like that. I'm just saying just – if I were to beat him in that little 4-4 tie, it'd be a whole different conversation. That's all I'm saying. Okay. me and JQ could have played. We could have been, like, you know, more fair and balanced, if you will. I would have been okay with conceding to winning, you know, or losing against him versus, you know, whatever. But just the way that went down, just not cool, man. So, again, it's all good. I'm just saying. So, all right.
Yeah, no, that's
fixing that next year. We can't have no 4-4 ties anymore.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. And I thought, I was like,
I gotta add another stat. I'm probably gonna add turnovers.
Yeah,
okay,
I think so.
The number of turnovers.
Yeah,
yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually
ahead,
a pretty good stat. I think you know that's fair.
I think it's turnovers. I think there's another one too, but I think turnovers will probably be the more realistic one to add.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so, again, we're not throwing shade on Pastor Rock. It's just like one of those situations where, you know, we know how, you know, you kind of earned it. You were going nuts, man. So, and, Rob, we'll talk about that too, man, because maybe we'll add
he's kicking my ass.
Injury.
Yes, he is.
But, see, again, it shouldn't be like that, Rob. We could have prevented this is all I'm saying. And maybe for the future we'll add, like, something like an exception for injuries. I mean, I don't know how in-depth you can do that, too. So, again, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Just throwing out some ideas and little things like that, too, man, just in case you get an injured player. Like
well, we got
play,
a
16-man
roster.
Yeah.
What we could probably do is add, like, a roster exemption for injuries, too. And, you know, especially, you know, not – just using my case as an example, obviously I know I'm not the only one that's had to deal with it. But, I mean, obviously, if you lose a guy, he was out for the year. So, you know, you don't really need injury protection for him. But more so for the guys, like, you know, I was down with Kevin Love for quite some time and John Wall. who I'm still holding on to. So it's the last week of the year. Might as well get rid of him.
You got, you got to let that go, brother.
Kevin Love, he helped me win last week. So that came in handy, getting him back, and was able to beat Saints Pelicans 23. And now Kevin Love doesn't play tonight. I'm like, damn.
I would say, too, just kind of like really have two exceptions,
that, and that way you can fill those roster spots instead of holding on to those injured players.
I mean, like I said, I know JQ had his little thing, and I know you had some, but it was, like, tough because I know I had, you know, I had, like, freaking Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. I fit him. You know, he was out for 2 weeks. He's coming back, and you're like, you know, I'm not going to get rid of him, obviously, but you just don't know, so you need to have that extra spot just to fill with somebody. So, you know, things like that, you know, for sure. So, again, it's all good. We'll talk about that, too, the way it makes it better, and, you know, we'll get better. And it was a really competitive season, I would say, one of the better ones, and I
was
a little promise, and I was so excited. I was like, dang it, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of end it with a whimper, kind of, like, dampered the whole thing, man. So, it's all good, man. So,
yeah.
It's all good.
Well, there were a group of five of us that had really good seasons. When when you look at, obviously, the three of us all had over 100 wins. And then you look at Saints Pelicans 23 and past the Rock. I mean, so you really had five teams that really had really good years in the fantasy basketball year.
And, it was really competitive. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good league. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had fun. And I started figuring out when the app is like start active players, it was kind of messing me up. So then I got into that one, kind of, I can see how what I'm doing. So that helped me out a lot. So it was fun, man. So all good. All right, America, we apologize. We kind of went on a little tangent there. We were trying to like talk about our commissioner, but you know, we are ready to roll. And let's get this party started here, as we always do. If you want to reach out to us. And we're having a little fun, too, so we're going to talk a lot. So, again, if you guys want to reach out, the number to call is 424-243-9519. JQ has a quick trigger, so we'll keep an eye on you that are calling in. We're on Twitter at the number 12, THMN Sports, and then last but not least on Facebook, facebook.com/ Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. All right, gentlemen. It's been a pretty interesting week as far as March Madness, and I got to be honest, totally not expected, and it was a crazy weekend starting out, and I don't even know what to say, man. It's been ups and downs and whatever, and it's funny, whenever you're watching the games, you're excited, but you're like, dang it, my bracket, F it, and yes. So let's talk about Mr. Gene here and Loyola Chicago. And I guess, are they good for basketball? This is a good thing, bad thing? I mean, what are your thoughts on about this? And I'm going to start off with you, JQ, and I'll let Rob kind of clean up here. So go ahead. What are your thoughts about that, JQ?
I think it's great. I mean, that's part of the reason why you get so many people to tune in. They want to feel Cinderella's. And if you listen to the crowds, they always get behind the underdogs. And, I mean, Sister Jean has just become an absolute rock star. I mean, they're selling socks and T-shirts and hats. We're likeness on it. Like, it's just out of control. I think it's really good for it. And I think it should open up an eye to the
JQ
selection committee.
JQ likes the Catholics all of a sudden.
Hey, listen, man, that's crazy.
Catholics and convicts over here.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think it should help the selection committee, honestly, you know, start to evaluate some of these smaller teams a little bit better and say just because you're from this small school and this small conference, you know, you're not good enough and you know, put them in these sometimes it's absurd parents where they have to pull off the unbelievable, but I think it's great for March Madness. This is why we tune in, man. I mean, yeah, it kills your bracket, but I didn't do one for money, so it's only pride that got hurt.
I didn't want
But, you know,
money.
Watching that run, I'm sorry, brother, but, you know, watching them get on that run, and like you said, getting Sister Jean to become just an absolute, you know, rock star and get her 15 minutes of fame, and from all accounts, she's really good in the community up there in Chicago, just outside of, you know, what she's doing on TV for her team. Like, I enjoy, you know, outside of your brackets being busted, I enjoy good competitive basketball. I enjoy seeing the underdog rise up and being able to knock off some of the blue bloods like they've been able to do. So I think it's great.
Gotcha. I'm going to make a comment about that, too. So go ahead, Rob. Give us your thoughts about that, sir.
Well, JQ and I totally agree on this one. I think it's also great, and I totally agree with everything you said from an entertaining standpoint. You know, that first Thursday and Friday of the March Madness, I think that's where people leave work early or take work or take the day off from work just to watch kind of games, just to see, you know, what Cinderella's. Every year there's a Cinderella. I mean, every year you don't have one that makes it to the Final Four. We've had it happen occasionally. And, I mean, Barack Obama did try to tell us that Loyola Chicago was going to make it to the Sweet 16. I didn't think they were going to make it to the Final Four, but, you know, maybe he had a little insight being from Chicago, obviously. But I think it's great. It's entertaining and to see these schools come out of nowhere. And I mean, the team was 27-5 in the regular season. I mean, so, I mean, that's a hell of a record. And,
yes.
So it's, you know, regardless of who you're playing, 27-5 is incredible. And they were able to put together a stretch of winning four in a row to make it to the Final Four. That kid Richardson, he can really shoot the basketball, too. They play good team basketball, and I mean, and that's what got them here. And and the good thing about some of these mid-majors, if they find the right mix of players that stay in the program for 3 to 4 years, I mean, you saw Duke's starting lineup was 4 freshmen and 1 senior. Now, they probably got more NBA players on their team, but they don't have the continuity of playing together on a regular basis. And so if these mid-majors can stick to that model, find the right mix of guys that's going to stick together and play together. I mean, these guys are used to playing together with one another. And and that's what's been successful. And, you know, Kentucky has had some great success with playing with a bunch of freshmen out there. But if you see, even Kentucky the last 2 to 3 years, they haven't found that Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist that can take them, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist that can take them to the championship game as a freshman team. So, I mean, those teams only come around once every blue moon. And I think that if you look even at the Roy Williams model, he's gone away from recruiting the 5-star players, and he's more so getting the 4-star guys just going to stay in 3 to 4 years and and try to build some continuity. I mean, it didn't work for him this year, but, you know, the last 2 years they won the championship game. But so, I mean, you got a lot of mid-majors with that model. And I think you're going to see this more often, where you're going to see a Butler, a team that made it to the championship game 2 years in a row, and now this year you got a Loyola Chicago. You know, like I said, I think it's great for college basketball. As long as we don't have all four teams in the Final Four that's a mid-major, I think it's good that we have these 1 or 2 Cinderella teams that make it. So as long as we don't get to the point where I think, you know, your Final Four is going to be Butler, Loyola Chicago, and St. Mary's.
Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Butler fans out there.
Now, if that's your whole Final Four, then I think it might become a problem for college basketball. But get these 1 or 2 sleeper teams, Cinderella teams in there, I think it's great.
Yeah, and it's just a dilution of the talent pool, I think, as well. Is because, to your point, you have these one and dones and you can't build that continuity, so you don't have 3 years of having 5, you know, McDonald's High School Americans playing together and just out there killing people like you get, like in the UConn and women's game, where they can't leave early, but they get the best players and they play together for 2, 3, 4 years and they just steamroll us. So it felt so bad for Don Staley, but it's that thing there that you talked about when you have the talent pool that gets diluted. When you get those teams that can get that one guy that might have been a knucklehead or just didn't get recruited hard enough, and he goes to a mid-major, and you fill him with some good chemistry guys, some good role players, you know, I totally agree with you, Rob. That being together for 3 to 4 years and building that chemistry, we talk about it in the NBA too. It's, you can't buy chemistry. Mm-hmm. You can't manufacture it. It has to happen organically for it to work. Mm-hmm. And you see that happen with those mid-majors, and they rise up. So, yeah, I agree with you, Rob.
Absolutely.
I agree with both you guys. Just a little side note here I want to say, too. The league that I'm in for the bracket, the guy's been – I think we've been going to get like 15 years. Just to let you know, that the winner gets like $4,000. That's how long he's been doing this. And we've got like a good like 100 people. Yeah, so again, that's how big – if you get in there and like I said, I'm going to buy you guys next year. It's like $10 to put it in. You got to do through PayPal, but – the winner gets like $4,000, the loser gets like $500. It's just he's been doing it for like almost like 20 years. It's crazy. So
you get more than 100 people.
You know, again, Yeah, well, yeah, like I said, mostly they do like multiple brackets, though, you know. So obviously, if you have, you know, you can send it out to somebody. I can do like 3 brackets at $30, you know. So
you know, okay, again, I got you.
So okay. You can submit as many as you want. You start, you know, as long as you make sure that you pay that. So it's just one of those things too. But again, I'm just a little excited about that too. So we'll talk about it next year, because if you guys want to jump in, it's you're in. You're like,
absolutely.
Oh, you know, it's one of those situations. You know,
oh yeah, absolutely.
It's just a great thing to have, man.
And that's,
you know,
a,
it's really,
that's a value,
really big,
man. $10.
Oh man,
I mean,
yeah, easily.
I mean,
yeah.
It is.
And and just to let you guys know too, I obviously agree with both you guys about Cinderella. I got to tell you this too. I'm studying stuff about leadership, and I'll tell you about this later. But I'm reading a book by Phil Jackson. I'm listening to a book on Audible called 11 Rings, and it is so interesting, gentlemen, to get into the psyche about Phil Jackson. He talks about how he grew up, and talks about his Chicago Bulls teams and the Lakers, and he literally, it's really existential, because he talks about chemistry, right? He talks about the tribe, and he talks about how you're kind of like manipulating this team, and literally talks about the Bulls. It was very interesting, guys, and what you said was exactly what he's talking about. Like, if you have a situation where you are trying to build chemistry, brotherhood, whatever you want to call it, tribe stuff, and I really wish I had more time to talk about it, but it was just, it's really interesting, and it talks about literally how, you know, Michael Jordan, how he was able to, you know, he's learning the triangle offense, how he didn't trust his teammates, and he had to, like, challenge Michael to be this different leader, and Scottie Pippen, it talks about Pippen, how he became, like, this unique player, and it was amazing to see how they are, you're kind of, like, building this team, but it goes into chemistry, right? It goes into the fact that, again, if you got players that are not out for themselves but have no ego, but they have a we mentality versus, you know, a me mentality. Because they talk about literally, the tribe, you know, of like first tribe is like, you know, it's all about me. Then you got like this gang type of mentality. Then you got like a third tribe. It's like, you know, hey, you know, it's us versus them. Then you got like this fifth tribe where we're kind of the unity. And then you got the last, like, is like this happiness. It's like joy. It's like this level. And so he's like, if we can get to that level, the 5 tribe can beat the 4 tribe and 3 tribe, and then it's just amazing. So if you've got squads that are together for such a long time, they can beat anybody, basically. Talent is going to, you know, only get you so far, but you have chemistry, it'll get you through. So anyway, that was a long-winded answer,
yep,
just to agree with you guys. But it was just interesting that you mentioned that, JQ, about, you know, the NBA. Rob, you said the same thing. And 100% agreement. I don't think this is going to happen a lot. We don't think it's always going to happen that you're going to have these Cinderella runs, and it is exciting. But, you know, eventually you're going to have some blue bloods in there too, man. But it is good to see that, you know, squad, because eventually they do run into a situation where, you know, they haven't had that. But I remember, like, Duke. I hate Duke. But yeah. I remember whenever, you know, they knew, like, next year, all right, we got Chris Lathis coming back, Bobby Hurley. What are we going to do to get better? You know, and
Grant Hill.
It's going to happen. UNLV, boom. You know, it just comes back. You know, little things that you just know this is going to happen, you know. And then, you know,
yeah.
Fab Five, all that stuff in Michigan. So it's interesting. So it's good for the game.
Absolutely.
So that's my little thing.
And, you know, I found myself watching that Loyola Chicago Kansas State game, rooting for Loyola Chicago.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, you do. You get caught up in it.
Yeah.
I'm watching the game.
They're rooting for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love it.
Yeah.
They're all in. 1 through 15. They're all in. The bitch is engaged in the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of the Fab Five,
talking about Duke you made a comment about Duke going back to the Christian Lakeman and the Bobby Hurley days. And, you know, they were, back in those days, Mike Krzyzewski had no problem keeping guys to play into their senior year. And they were one of the, for the longest, if you recall, they were one of the few schools that wasn't losing players to the NBA early. And Gene Battier stayed to his senior year. And I think Elton Brand was the first one to kind of start that at Duke, and he started leaving. I think he was the first one to leave after his freshman year. And ever since then, they've been having a lot of guys leaving. And now, Coach K, he's still recruiting the 5-star guys. I mean, they got, like, at least 3 of them coming next year. I mean, they're going to lose Marvin Bagley Jr. and Wendell Carter. Those guys are going to leave and go straight to the draft.
They get
this year. Yeah. From South Carolina. And so, yeah, they are still going after the 5-star guys, just like Kentucky is. And so he's going for the philosophy is he's going after the best player still, regardless if they're going to be a one-and-done type of player. But, I mean, he still got to the league, which is highly successful, this year. But, you know, I would have just thought that Coach K would have been more the kind of coach that would want chemistry and maybe take the same model that Roy Williams is kind of taking. But, you know, he's gone after the one-and-done guys. He still is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about talent sometimes. We'll talk about it. Yeah, and sometimes it's, it gets fans and all that fun stuff, too. It's still, you know, still trying to make revenue for certain things. All right, so we talked about a lot of things, and I know this is going to make JQ cringe, but can Michigan win the championship, I guess, is the question. And JQ, can they win, and do you care?
I know, I care. I care for them to lose, and I'm rooting real hard for Sister Jean. Get more of her 15 minutes come Saturday, if I'm being honest with you. But, I mean, but they've been shooting the lights out. I mean, that half they had, I mean, against Texas A&M was just unbelievable. And, I mean, and they found the way to win and get there, you know, this last game against Florida State.
Lining.
But, you know, they've been playing their butts off. Now, I don't, you know, that's just the objective part. You got to say they can. I mean, they're going to get a tough matchup on the other side, whether it's Kansas or Villanova. But can they? I think so, but I don't think they will. And that's objectively. I don't think beat Villanova. But, you know, does the Magic run out on Loyola next weekend? It could. I mean, I don't hope so, though. I'm like I said, I'm rooting for more Sister Jean airtime.
JQ clearly has an agenda, Rob. Go ahead. Your thoughts, man.
Well, I mean, JQ talked about it. I mean, when you look at the way Michigan finished the regular season, I mean, they won the Big Ten tournament, and now they're in the Final Four. They are clearly one of the hottest teams in the country. And John Beilein has done a phenomenal job from an offensive standpoint, the way they move the ball, the way they shoot the three-pointer. And another thing they don't get a lot of credit for is the way they shoot the three-pointer very well, but they also defend it very well. They jump out on guys, they move them off the line, you know, they move guys off the three-point line and force them to take a lot of two-point shots. I mean, they do a good job on that end of the floor as well, and they don't get a lot of credit for it. So this team, to me, has a legit – I'm not going to say they win it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do. They have a legitimate chance. They are definitely a contender for the national title based on the way they're playing right now and how hot they are. But we'll see. If Loyola Chicago is going to have any chance of winning this game, they're going to have to defend the three like Michigan defends the three. And so that's going to, you know, in this game, that's what they're going to have to do well. And I haven't seen that yet from them in the tournament, but they're going to have to do that in order.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that, man. Michigan is it's like the basketball gods are kind of – everything is kind of falling their way right now, man. The way that they just stormed out of Texas A&M, I was watching the game. I was like, Lord have mercy. And like I said,
you
we got like Sister Jean too, but it's interesting. I hate to say it to DJQ, but it's just like, wow. Yeah, good.
But one thing I would like
tell you
to
what
the NCAA tournament do is they need to reseed every weekend. And,
no,
and the
come
reason,
on, man. Here you go with that. No, man, they're not gonna reseed. You talking about reseeding the playoffs for the NBA and reseeding the Final Four and the future
no.
If you don't stop.
No, it to me is not right that you got both the number one seeds playing against each other in the semifinal, and they should be
the
reseeded. To me, it should be reseeded. I didn't agree with a lot of things that Billy Packer said. But I totally agree with Billy Pack on this. And he said years ago is that especially if you don't do it when you get to the Sweet 16, you should do it when you get to the Final Four. You should reseed the teams. Kansas and Villanova should be on opposite ends of the bracket. They should not be going against each other in the semifinals when they're both the number one seed. And the other two teams are in the 3 seed and the 11 seed.
Let me tell you who's defending, Rob. Come on, man.
But you know what? Come on, man. It's the luck. It's the luck of the draw and how the ball bounces, and you got to deal with that. But you know what? They don't want to have happen. They reseed it and put them on opposite sides of the draw, and then both of them lose, and either one of them make it to the championship game. At least this way, you guaranteed you get one of them to the championship game.
Well,
I hear what you're saying, but that could backfire. You just said you didn't want four upstarts in the Final Four. So why would you want two upstarts playing in the championship game?
If 11 seed beats a 1 seed, I have no problem with that. But I do think they should be seeded. Now, that being said, if we get a Final Four with Michigan against Villanova or Michigan against Kansas, I think we got a legitimate championship game. Because Michigan is playing as good as any team in the country. So if they make it, that being said, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. If they're going to, I mean, you're still going to have a legitimate championship. And even if Loyola Chicago makes it too. But I do think from a team perspective, you want to reward the teams. You want to reward the teams. Has a number one seed. I mean, come on, you're going to give a number. You're going to play the two number one seeds against each other in the semifinals. To me, doesn't make any sense. It's ass backwards.
But think about what you just said, though. You just said Michigan was playing as hot as anybody playing. So if you reseed them, Villanova or Kansas, one of them is going to get Michigan. So you're going to have one team get a hard draw, and the other team is going to get a somewhat easier draw on the numbers. So nothing has really changed if you put Michigan in that status. You know what I mean? Like, they're not gaining anything if they get reseeded. They're going to get a hard game. One of those two are going to get a hard game either way. Right?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think ultimately if Michigan wins, we're still going to have a very good championship game. I mean, I agree with that, but I still think that ultimately you want to reseed the teams based on the entire season. Once, especially if you don't do it when you get to the Sweet 16, you should at least do it when you get to the Final Four.
Go ahead, Dre. We ain't gonna be able to convince him. You do. Go ahead, Dre.
So now you're emailing to Rob Ford, Rob at Sports. If you want to like him,
I'm gonna watch it. I know there are a lot of people. I guarantee you, there's at least 50% of America that agrees with me, and there's 50% of America that disagrees with me. That's fine. That's what this is all about.
We're not talking about you, Robbie. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. It's just interesting, but it's all good.
They always want to shake up tradition, man.
Certain things, I agree, it's good for certain things. But again, I mean, right now we're kind of, you know, we've got some interesting matchups right now, so we should kind of leave things as they are.
I'm going to
hold a little rework on everything too. Yeah, I got you. I'm just saying, we hear you. We got about 17 minutes. We are literally flying through the show. Let's talk about Grayson Allen, Rob. Is he one of the most dirty players? Wow, the dirtiest players of all time. Wow, Rob.
Uh-huh. Oh, I think the answer is clearly a yes, a resounding yes.
Yep.
Who is that?
Of all time. Of all time.
Yeah, he is.
I'm just trying to egg you guys on. Go ahead.
And to say he hasn't got suspended as much, in my opinion, is ridiculous, too. I mean, he should have missed at least 20 games in his college basketball career at Duke. A total of 20 games. With as many... As many dirty tricks that he's done over the years, that's been caught on film, and it's ridiculous that Duke hasn't done more to him and ACC hasn't done more to him. What kind of ridiculous shit he's been doing over the years?
Yeah, I tell you like this.
That sounds like that North Carolina thing.
No. You know what? I like North Carolina in the Duke North Carolina rivalry. I like North Carolina, so I'm with Rob in that instance. But when you get caught on camera three times tripping somebody and then you hip check somebody and then he's done some other stuff, if his name was Jaquan Jenkins, he would get more than one game suspension, is all I'm going to say.
I love it.
I'm just going to put that out there. Come on, man. I'm with Rob 100%. There's no way. I think he's been suspended for one game for everything that he's been caught on film doing. Not innuendo, not he said this. No, I didn't say that. Like, on the film, dirty physical things he's done. I think he's only been suspended for one game. That's true. I mean, I'm telling you, you know I'm right. If that dude's name is Jaquan Jenkins, he's got a good 20 that Rob said. He's got a good 20. There's no question. I'm going to leave it at that.
He can't get away with that, can he?
Yeah, you can't do that. My dude Jenkins with that turnover chain. Hey, listen.
God.
Yeah, hey, you feel free to debate me if you want to, but you know deep down in your heart, everybody listening knows I am telling the God's honest truth. You would have to prove
you
to me
right. That's the truth. It's the truth, man.
Yes.
The fact that you said it like
definitely
that is even better. His name is Jaquan Jenkins. Not Grayson Allen. All right. That's awesome. That's awesome. I agree 100%.
You know you're black. His name is Jaquan.
Absolutely.
Draymond
Green.
Right.
You're right.
Draymond Green. You didn't suspend
right. Leon Washington.
Bobby.
We know you're a brother. You know what you're dealing with.
You should have said that. Blake Johnson's not going to get suspended. Is that what you're trying to say?
At all.
Oh, man.
Community service.
Oh, gosh. All right. Mm-mm-mm. Let's talk about this. We're keeping this moving here. Let's do some final four predictions, Rob. Kick it off, bro.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know what I was thinking when I did my bracket. We have talked about Villanova more than any college basketball team throughout the entire year. And throughout the entire year, I kind of thought they were the best college basketball team in the country, and I didn't pick them. So I'm like, okay, what were you thinking, Robert? And so I have to slap myself for not picking them in my bracket. When, like I said, we've talked about them on the show more than any other team throughout the year in college basketball. And when you watch them play, they, to me, are still the best team in the country. And so I would have to pick Villanova over Michigan in a championship game. When you look at Jalen Brunson, Mikael Bridges, Omari Spellman, and that white boy can flat out shoot the ball off the bench. And
Thank you.
So
he can shoot that rock.
In order for me not
Dante.
To say his name, I'm sorry, that's what I gotta call him.
Dante.
But yeah, but
his
first name
was like
Dante,
that?
Shinzo or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He can flat out come off the bench. They got the right mix on their team as far as defense, Brunson playmaking, shooting ability. Bridges is a really good shooter, good defender on the perimeter. He's got some athleticism. I mean, there are a lot of NBA scouts that compare him to Kawhi Leonard. They have the perfect mix on their team. And the good thing is, you know, their stars are pretty much veteran players. We look at Brunson as a senior, Bridges as a junior, while Omari Spellman is a redshirt freshman. So, they got a good mix. Jay Wright has done a tremendous job with that program. I tell you what, they win a year for Philadelphia with the Eagles and Villanova, and this will be Villanova's second national championship in 3 years if they find a way to win it. But Michigan is not going to be a slouch, so I can promise you that. The way they're playing, I look at that Villanova-Michigan to be a phenomenal national championship game if that's what happens.
Hey, Rob, University of Richmond, he's in the consolable, bro. He's over here. Sorry, JQ, he's a Philly fan. He's over here talking crap, man. I'm sorry, he's going nuts. Anyway, go ahead, JQ. One of our guys, let me know.
No, I don't. I honestly don't have anything else to add to that. Those would be the two teams I would pick. And that's in the one bracket I did with on Rob's on Yahoo, Villanova was my champion. They're the only Final Four team I got left, to be honest with you. Like you said, we've talked about them, and they just continue to carry it. And it's one thing to carry it and sneak up on somebody and not have to carry it the whole year. It's another thing to carry that mantle all year and take everybody's best shot, everybody's Super Bowl, and still end up in the Final Four. To me, it's very impressive for Villanova. So I'm going to go ahead and keep giving them the benefit of the doubt. I think they beat Michigan.
Yeah.
That's how
and you look at their four wins in this tournament. Some of these teams, like Alabama, they hung with Villanova in the first half, and in the second half, Villanova just blew them away. And even this past game against Texas Tech hung around, but in the end, Villanova pulled away again. It just seems like down the stretch, these teams just can't compete with them. And even West Virginia, Bob Huggins' team played them physical and tough. And the last 10 minutes of the game, Villanova just pulled away. I mean, they're just too strong in the end. And I think every one of their victories has been more than 10 points in this tournament.
Yeah, you got a machine going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, 100% in agreement with you, Rod. Whenever you're talking about, you talked about Villanova so much, right? We literally, every show we talk about how great we were, and then apparently we didn't like, I don't know, maybe, you know, JQ was on the smart one that, you know, because I was over here thinking that, you know, I thought, okay, Arizona and whatever, and, you know, you just get caught up in certain things, and you just like, hey, this team has been consistent throughout the whole year too, man. So, I don't know. It is what it is at this juncture, but things will look on the future.
I picked them to get to the Final Four, but I predicted Michigan State to win it.
I haven't beaten Michigan State. I haven't beaten Michigan State. So we had those that side of the bracket together.
Yeah, I got to say, man, I'm very surprised that Kansas was still doing their thing, too, as well, man, because, again, you thought that Kansas had that Tony Romo gene of just, you know, kind of like crapping the bed, man. But, you know, they're holding, you know, thing, too, man. So, you know, interesting. See, Kansas kind of hold up, too, man. So, yeah.
That Luke Olsen gene.
Well, I will say this about Kansas. To me, this is one of Bill Self's better coaching jobs at Kansas because the Newman kid can flat out play, but this is a Kansas team that don't really have any stud NBA prospects on it. So he did a
Not
tremendous job with his team this year. He's going to get drafted, but when, you know, we don't have any lottery pick studs. You know, usually Kansas has at least one on their team or so. This is the year where you got to give. I'm sorry.
Was Hawkins like crazy dominant though, or no? Was he? I don't know if he was like crazy, like, you know. But I'm sorry, Paul Pierce. Was he crazy like dominant at Kansas or no?
Oh, Paul Pierce was a heck of a college player, man. I don't know if he was totally dominant though.
Jacques Vaughn were, but I mean, I don't know if like crazy dominant, but you know, I just didn't know. I mean, because he got drafted pretty low. But
well,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on a little tangent.
If you recall, Paul Pierce was at Kansas. You know, they were competing for championships on the year in year out basis. So it was the years while he was there. And,
I should remember.
He was actually fell in the draft. You know, he was projected to be a top five pick, and he fell at number 10. He was projected to be a top five player. And, I mean, that was a heck of a team, Lord, he and Jacques Vaughn on it, man. Those teams were in the running every single year.
I wasn't trying to talk junk, I was just asking if you know, I didn't remember, so yeah, but go ahead. I didn't mean it,
no,
I went totally different standard too, so yeah, but all good. All right, we got about 8 minutes here, 7 minutes and 40 something seconds here. We are having fun here, so I guess we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about the Giants and your boy. I know JQ was texting about what's he doing, man, Odell Beckham Jr. And this is clearly a case where talent will allow him to continue to stay in the league, because if his name was, you know, some random wide receiver, we wouldn't – he'd probably get cut immediately. But since his name is Odell Beckham Jr. and he's a star, you know, he's going to get a second chance here. So they trade him. I'm going to say no for this because the Giants, they're not stupid. But what say you, JQ?
You only trade him if you get, like, a Herschel Walker deal. That's it. Other than that, you keep him.
Yeah.
And I go back to that story from Jimmy Johnson. If the backup punter or backup long snapper falls asleep in the meeting, I'm a cutting. But if Troy Aikman or Michael Irvin or Emmitt Smith fall asleep in the meeting, I'm going to walk over to him and say, hey, wake up. That's what you have. when you have Odell Beckham Jr., you don't have knee-jerk reactions. You knew, he was like that. Sorry, but Rob knows he had those traces in LSU, coming out of LSU. I mean, it was some things you were like, okay, off the field, is he going to do some, you know, be himself and some other things? He's always been an individual for the most part. He's able to be more of that individual in the NFL, obviously, being older, more money, and being a professional. But his talent, I mean, you almost can't get equal value in a trade unless you just rape somebody in the trade. And I'm sorry to use that term, but you know what I mean, just totally get over on him in the trade. Unless you can do that, because he's still one player. If you can get four picks and hit on four picks, or get an established person and three picks and hit on those three picks, four is still better than one. But he's such a freak of nature that it's so hard to get equal value in the trade for him. I think I would still just have to have a real come-to-Jesus intervention moment with him, like, bro, you listen, we have given you all the leash we can give you that almost anybody's going to give you. You are tripping. all this youthful stuff you got to put to the side and come on, man. Come on, brother. Be a role model and get your stuff together. Like, they got to have that moment with him, but you don't trade him yet outside of that moment.
Yeah, one of the streets that the Rams are really hot, and which is crazy they pull that off, because that's going to be sick. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to trade him. But can you imagine something like they're trying to, like, throw, like, all their chips in, like, let's go. We got this. But, Rob, your thoughts about this, sir?
Well, I agree. And I think even if the Giants wanted to trade him, they're not going to get his real value in return at the moment with him coming off an injury as well. So I think it would be foolish to go out and make a trade for him to get rid of him right now, because you're not going to get the value in return anyway. So that would be crazy even if they wanted to trade him. So I think if you're the Giants, you got to have that come to Jesus meeting, as JQ just mentioned. Get his head right. Get him back in the team concept. Get his head back in the game. Get him ready to play and try to help Pat Shurmur at offense. You know, try to help Eli Manning get back on track, or if you're going to get a quarterback going forward. But, yeah, what you want to do is get his head back right and get in the game and get back in the team concept.
Here it is. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we got 4 minutes and something left. And I know we want to kind of touch base on some NFL mock draft coverage. Rob, did you do like three rounds or you did two rounds? I want to get you your props here, and then we may want to push this into the OT portion here. But where are you at as far as your mock draft number 3,000 and whatever?
Well, the latest mock draft, I did up to the two rounds in the latest mock.
So you got.
Yeah, let's talk about the MVP. Let's just talk about the MVP and then do the mock so we can have more time for it.
Yeah, all right, we'll do that. All right, so we're kind of switching gears here. All right, really quickly, Harden or LeBron for MVP? I'm going to say Harden, easy choice. Go ahead, JQ.
I'm not going to say easy choice. I'm looking at, you know, we keep having these 50-50 conversations. LeBron is having a ridiculous year, and just to tie into the other topic, it might be his best year because it's his 15th year. And, I mean, you're talking about somebody that is with a team getting traded halfway during the season, someone probably also at his behest, but still that happened, dealing with the injuries, dealing with the Kyrie trade at the beginning of the season. I mean, he doesn't have the record that James Harden has, and I think that's ultimately going to win out, and Harden's going to win it. But, man, if it's not a co-MVP, he's definitely second co-MVP. But you've got to give Harden at least a piece of it.
I hate co-MVPs.
Yeah, it's definitely Harden to me as well. And I'm a big believer, you know, your record has to be near the top echelon, you know, for you to actually be the MVP. And so that's kind of like the main reason I would give it to James Harden. I mean, he's having a phenomenal year. He's been unguardable this year
that's
as well.
But
I agree with, you know, JQ's assessment about LeBron as well. When you look at I like to steal Clark Kellogg's term, stat sheet stuffer. And LeBron James is a stat sheet stuffer. I mean, he just fills up every category in the stat sheet when you look at that stat sheet at the end of the game. And, I mean, he just does everything on the basketball floor. I don't know if we'll ever see another player like that that can lead a game in steals, rebounds, blocks, assists, and scoring. And but I will still have to give it to Harden based on the team that he's on. You know, we've seen LeBron take lesser caliber teams and take them to the finals, and so that's another reason why I wouldn't say that's another reason why I wouldn't give him the MVP this year, because we've seen him take lesser talent teams and take them far, and this year they haven't been able to do that because of all of a sudden the interchangeable parts. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you tuning in to our wonderful sports talk show tonight. Unfortunately, this ends our live portion of the show, so we're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We got NFL draft. We got more NBA. Might sneak a little Major League Baseball in on you a little bit. So you definitely want to click on the same link on tomorrow to get all this great information that we have in store for you. You do not want to miss it. Next week, we're going back to our normal night of Wednesday night. Next week, once again, we'll be on the air on Wednesday night. I believe the date on that is April 4th on Wednesday night on next week. Good night, people. Appreciate you tuning in.
Yes, sir. Get together, UC. You had your shot. in the South region this year, and you blew it, and you had me depressed for a solid 12 hours. I don't appreciate that, Ish. Get it together. Hey, everybody. Appreciate y'all for listening to the show. Stay tuned for the OT portion. Download it. Holla at you next week.
I got you. I can't handle it. I love it. No, it's all good. And
I thought
I'd
cut you off,
Rob.
I own it.
You need to take care.
No. I appreciate you being a good timekeeper, Andre. That's all good.
Yeah.
All right. We are
officially sure.
In OC here, so let's keep it going here. So finish the conversation, Rob. What are you talking about? So I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
What's that?
Oh, I was telling you, finish up your thought. I don't know if you had your last thought about that, too. So
basically, I was just agreeing with JQ's assessment of LeBron when you. Like I said, and I know he had LeBron on a basis on, you know, from a stat perspective. I mean, the way he just fills up every category is just amazing. I don't know if it would be hard-pressed to find another basketball player like that, again, that can, you know, fill up the stat sheet like that. It's going to be extremely hard-pressed. But I would agree that based on a record, you have to give it to Harden because LeBron has been able to take lesser talented teams and take him to 60 wins, and he hasn't been able to do that with this team.
Yeah. We'll see. Like I said, again, it's tough because I know I was pretty hard on Harden because I didn't know if he had that gene in him because I know there's a certain time whenever, you know, it was so bad seeing the playoffs last year. So, again, he has to prove it in the playoffs still. But like I said, at this juncture, he's doing everything right. Like you said, Rob, he's been unguardable. He's been, you know, carrying that team. And then, you know, that's the definition of the MVP, you know, your most valuable player to your squad, you know. So, again, that's some reason why I think it's kind of his year and what he's been doing. So, even though he's definitely getting more help, but he's been kind of being the leader on that squad. Let's keep it going here, and let's kind of stick with the NBA theme here. Let's kind of wrap up some last things here. We're going to talk about Golden State. They've had a rash of injuries here. And now it's up to Kevin Durant. I mean, can he lead Golden State without Curry? Thompson's been out. And this is an interesting pivotal point for Golden State. They're still going to make the playoffs, obviously, but there's been some chinks in the armor. So can Kevin Durant lead them without Curry, JQ?
I mean, yeah, because it's the concept of lead them. You talk about Curry's going to be back. Can they go through, I mean, not to say the Western Conference isn't tough, but with the firepower they have with Kevin Durant healthy in the first round, can they win the first round series 4-1? I absolutely believe they can win it 4-1 and let him get healthy and then get ready and get himself prepared for the second round. So, yeah, because it's not like he has to lead them to the NBA Finals. I believe Steph will be back in the second round. So you just got to get through the first round. If you get Klay back and get Draymond back and Iguodala back healthy, you know, over these next couple of weeks, they absolutely can get to the second round without Steph and then get him back in the fold and go forward.
Rob?
Yeah,
Totally agree. You know, obviously, I mean, Golden State has the riches of talent on that team. And you got to remember that they did win a championship without Kevin Durant. And so they can certainly be extremely competitive without Curry with Durant. I mean, you got Durant, you got Draymond Green, you got a Klay Thompson. If you have at least three of those four, you're going to be in contention. Now, I will say, though, I mean, right now, if the playoffs started today, they'll be facing Utah. Utah be a 7 seed. I wouldn't be afraid of them. I think I wouldn't be afraid of them losing to Utah. I think they can beat Utah without Curry. The team I would be afraid of them playing in the first round, Minnesota. Minnesota's going to get Jimmy Butler back here really soon. And that could be a scary matchup. I mean, I'm not going to say Minnesota's going to win it. But if they get Minnesota in the first round with Jimmy Butler back, with Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, that's going to be an extremely tough matchup. Jeff Teague. I mean, I think Minnesota can at least win 2-3 games from them and give them a run in that series. Once they get Jimmy Butler back. You realize when they had Butler, I mean, they were practically the number 3 seed in the Western Conference. And they fell off a little bit without him. But if they hold on and make it to the playoffs without Butler, and Butler's coming back, it could be interesting if that's the matchup that they get. Matter of fact, that's what I'm looking for.
But you know what? I this the only thing I disagree with that point is you're right, Minnesota's a tough matchup, but Minnesota won't win two or three games. Minnesota would play them tough for five games, but Golden State will find a way to win a 1-2, 4-point game against Minnesota, who's still learning how to put it together. But it won't be an easy five. It won't be where they beat them by 20 points two to three games and they rest the people and they high-five and doing a Dougie on the bench. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't gonna be that. I just don't feel like Minnesota will give them a good game in every game that they play. But I don't know if Minnesota has enough of that playoff moxie and togetherness to put it together as a win. You could play somebody tough and lose by six. And like, you know what, they play this tough, but at the end of the day, that's still a W. You know what I mean? So I just don't know if they can always translate those tough games they play them into Ws.
Yep, good call. All right, hey, Rob, Tony Parker says his injury was 100 times worse than Kawhi Leonard. I'm not sure what's happening with Kawhi. This is like some more stuff is happening. I don't know what the French toast is, you know, but what's your thoughts on this?
Well, it's really strange because this is totally against the Spurs culture of what we used to seeing here in the last 20 years. And, you know, really going back to the late 80s when you talk about the Spurs culture, even though they weren't winning championships in the late 80s and the early 90s, I think that's when their culture, their franchise changed when they got David Robinson. So this is totally different to what we used to seeing out of their star players from a communication standpoint with their ownership. And I think from Kawhi Leonard's standpoint, I think his concern is he wants to make sure that he's 100% right before he gets on the basketball court. And so there's obviously a lot of miscommunication there that's taking place, like I say, which we have not seen with their previous all-stars, with David Robinson, the Tim Duncans, the Tony Parkers, the Manu Ginobili's, and things. So it's a little bit different, and I think from the organization standpoint, they feel like he's been the malcontent, and they feel like he's should have been ready to play, you know, quite some time ago. So it's really interesting. Is we're going to see what happens in this situation. Is he going to come back? Is he not going to come back? Is he going to be with the team next year? I think is even a question at this point. So it's for Tony Parker to come out and make that comment. Like I said, this is something that you're just not used to seeing out of this organization. They used to keep everything in house and things of that nature. It doesn't get out of house, and you can see that it's a little bit of a shaky situation in San Antonio right now.
You know what? It's not just Tony. It was also Manu a couple of days ago also saying, you know, we ain't gonna have him. He ain't playing. You have those two, but I agree with everything that Rob says. But you know, I'm gonna have a JQ side note on this piece and talk about Tony Parker. Mm-hmm. Like, this is still the same dude that cheated on Brent Berry's wife with when he was married, and that was his teammate. So we are also talking about somebody who listen, there's no reason for Tony Parker to come out and say that about Kawhi Leonard. That is just totally coming out and throwing Kawhi under the bus. Whether you think it's warranted or not, you're right. You don't come out there and do that. You keep that in-house. You're supposed to be the class organization. But when it's coming from this dude, at the point that you are, why are you even thinking about that man's wife? That's your teammate. And not only do you think about it, you do the deed. Like, listen, it's another log on the I don't like Tony Parker fire because he seems like a real shady kind of dude. So that's all I was looking like. If you were mad at Kawhi Leonard for whatever reason, I don't think you got more mad at Kawhi when Tony Parker said this. I think if you know what Tony Parker has kind of been like as a dude, you're like, come on, Tony Parker. Like, bro, you're gonna be like Nick Young. Like, I can't be around you in the locker room. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yep. I would say Eva, call me, but you know, I can't make that happen. That's you know, it's all good just to mess with him, but it's all good. Hey, let's keep this moving here.
Just saying.
I agree with you 100%. Just there's something else happening with that, and that team is fractured, and it's going to, I think, affect their performance in the future too. So we'll see what happens for Kawhi because, you know, off season is going to be a very interesting off season for that squad. All right, hey, let's talk about the Eastern Conference for the NBA, and has it turned into a joke, JQ, in your perspective? I'm going to say no because lack of injuries, the influx of injuries has been happening with Gordon Hayworth and, you know, Kyrie, a lot of things happening too. So it's just, I think there's going to be, it kind of reloads. Sometimes you have, well, the West is strong and East can be strong too, but your thoughts about this, JQ.
No, I don't. And this is the reason why. I'm looking at the standings. If you look at the 4-5, I feel like Philadelphia against anybody in that lower four, I mean, Philadelphia's just playing good ball. I think that's a bad matchup for those other four. But like you said, to the point with the injuries, if you look at 6-8, where Washington, Milwaukee, and Miami, and look at Toronto, Boston, and Cleveland in the top three, those three matchups, you talk about Minnesota and Golden State, those could be three really fun matchups in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I don't think those are going to be three walks. I think those, you know, depending on how that shakes out, you know, that's, I think 1-2-3 is pretty much going to maybe not be set because Cleveland is not a lock for the three seed, but I think that 6-8 is going to kind of be those three teams. Those three teams right there are vulnerable to me. I mean, Toronto's playing well, and I know, yay, Toronto, they got a bench. And ooh,
Toronto
the corner.
Is a squad, man. Come on.
But until I see them do that in the playoffs, I am not going to go out of my mind and say they're going to do that in the playoffs because I've seen them be good and flame out in the playoffs. So when I'm looking at that, I'm not going to say the Eastern Conference. Maybe as a whole, when you get down to the tanking teams, there's some tanking teams in the Western Conference too. But when you talk about those playoff matchups, I think those Eastern Conference playoff matchups are going to be really interesting. I don't think it's going to be a lot of four nothings that people think is going to happen. When you just be like, oh, I'm waiting to the semis. I think you're going to see some really entertaining games and series in that Eastern Conference.
I'm going to let Rob answer this, but I'm going to tell you the same thing. We've been talking about Villanova the whole year, and then we kind of like doubted them. We've been talking about Toronto the whole year, how they've been playing well and some of that. So I just see kind of a
Villanova's won a title in the past couple of years. But Villanova's won a title in the past couple of years. Toronto
has
not.
I'm with you. Okay. But I'm just saying, like, you know, sometimes it takes that special year, put everything together. So, I mean, again, it's not an easy road by any means, but I'm just saying, they've been playing well consistently the whole year. I mean, we can say what we want to say, but we were even shocked at how well. Like, man, look at Toronto. You know, they look like they put it together. Now, again, proof's in the pudding, but I'm just equating what we've been talking. We've been saying the same thing about Villanova, and then now they're kind of proving it. You know, they're like, hey, all right, we'll see. They have to play it. I agree with you, JQ, but I'm just saying. So that's my little 2 cents. Go ahead, Rob. Mm-hmm. We'll let JQ come back to that.
Well, you know what's funny about the Eastern Conference? No, I actually don't think it's a joke this year either because, you know, we finally got a year where, you know, all eight teams in the East look like they're going to have winning records. And and just as JQ mentioned, we got some competitive matchups here. And this, as strange as it is, I'm almost willing to say now that things are setting back up for LeBron James to get back to the NBA Finals. It's starting to look like things are just setting right back in order for Cleveland to get back to the NBA Finals. So you look at Boston now, they're number two seed. I tell you what, if it stands the way it is right now, Boston will be playing Milwaukee in the first round without Kawhi Leonard. Not Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I know about Kyrie Irving, I know you, man.
Yeah, and you got Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak. And I don't see Boston beat Milwaukee without Kyrie Irving in that first round.
No.
I could be wrong, but, I mean, you got Eric Bledsoe. And to me, I think overall Milwaukee, from a talent standpoint, they're underachievers. Maybe they don't have the right head coach there yet. But I could see them beating Boston in that first round without Kyrie Irving. And then we look at Cleveland and Washington. Washington still doesn't have John Wall yet. I'm assuming he's going to be back for the playoffs. But I think if Cleveland is healthy and got Kevin Love and LeBron, he got all the role players healthy, Larry Nance Jr. and Rodney Hood, I would see Cleveland winning that. Philadelphia, as JQ mentioned, is playing extremely well. They're going to be entertaining team to watch in the playoffs. And
100%
they got Markel Fultz back, and I don't know what kind of impact he's going to have. He got like 10 points and 5 or 13 shooting today, tonight. I can see him definitely moving on and beat the Pacers. And obviously I like the Raptors over the Heat. And you got a matchup there of Toronto and Philadelphia, which I think could be very intriguing. Very intriguing. I wouldn't say they're going to beat Toronto, but I think they can give them a heck of a run in the playoffs.
And if
Cleveland plays the Bucks, for some reason LeBron just still has Giannis' number,
And you're right back in the Eastern Conference Finals, having LeBron back in the Eastern Conference Finals. And who knows what happens from there. So I think it could still be fairly appealing in the Eastern Conference. Some intriguing. Obviously, Philadelphia is an intriguing team to watch. Obviously, we have to see what happens with Boston. Obviously, LeBron is still there. Can Toronto get over the hump? There's still a lot of intriguing question marks that we'll have to that we'll be entertained by in the Eastern Conference as well.
Yep, I agree.
Probably a lot more than the Western Conference. I think the Western Conference, in my opinion, is pretty much a given. It's going to be between the Warriors and the Rockets. You know, but I think the Eastern Conference, from that regard, might be even a little bit more intriguing.
Yep.
Yeah, very cool.
I agree.
All right, let's keep this moving here, and let's get back to the NFL mock draft, Rob.
Yeah,
obviously,
from an NFL mock draft standpoint, we're in an aspect of evaluating pro days, and you know, and Johnny Manziel, how about that, throwing at Texas A&M pro day today? That's interesting. See if a team gives them a strong look. But you know, we're right in the middle of pro days. We still
have the same with Jaquan Jacobs.
The free agent.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you would have been. You've done what he's done. You wouldn't been throwing at that pro day.
Right. I could probably throw a pro day at A&M's pro day. They would let me throw no play at pro day.
Oh, that would be awesome to see that, bro. Jaquan Jenkins. Oh, man.
You had to go to Tuskegee for
your pro day. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry. Go ahead. My bad. I couldn't help it.
Oh man.
But, yeah, obviously, we're in that – we're in that part of free agency. We're starting to slow down a little bit here. Obviously, you just had a big name in Dominican Sue signing with the Rams on yesterday. So there might be still a few finds out there. So it's starting to slow down, and things are starting to open up in a draft here a little bit. I still have Sam Darnold, number one, in Cleveland at the moment from a quarterback perspective. The Giants, number two. You know, it's a strong possibility that the Giants are going to trade back and get rid of that pick. Obviously, right now I have them going with quarterback Josh Allen, you know, working on replacing Eli Manning. Then, of course, the Jets moves up to number three. We all know they're going to take a quarterback. Josh Rosen seems to be the guy that they're intrigued by and hoping that they'll be able to take him at the number three spot. And Cleveland haven't taken who actually might be the best player in the draft. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you a quick question. No, what do you think about the fact that the Giants traded Jean-Pierre Paul? Does that mean that,
right,
you know, Bradley Chubb is kind of
a
move at number two? I mean, what do you think about that? I just want to ask you about that. And you can comment too, JQ, but yeah.
You took it words out of my mouth. I was going to say that, Dre.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Rob.
Obviously, that is a very high possibility as well. But obviously, you got an offensive coordinator there as well who may want to get his quarterback for the future. I mean, let's face it, Pat Shurmur thinks he can get another year out of Eli Manning. Eli Manning looked awful last year.
Yep.
Awful.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, can he possibly get another year out of Eli Manning? Possibly. But, I mean, right now, this is a legitimate quarterback draft where you can legitimately take three guys in the top five picks of this draft. Now, if you get the Giants, you got to ask yourself, okay, what if we go 8-8 next year? And now you're back in the middle of the pack from a draft standpoint. And when are you going to get your franchise quarterback? So I think if you're the New York Giants, in my opinion, I think if you're in that room right now, you have to be discussing, you know, if we stay at the number two position, do we go ahead and take that quarterback? I mean, you got to really ask yourself that question right now if you're really the New York Giants. I mean, you can go Bradley Chubb. You can go Saquon Barkley. But we all know, we all been watching football for years. If you don't have a quarterback, you almost don't have a shot. And, and New York Giants, you got to really ask yourself that question. Do we are number two in the draft. We don't know where we're going to be drafting next year. do we go ahead and take a guy if we feel strong about him as far as being a franchise quarterback here at number two? And so I think that could come into play. And I think if we're smart, I think if he's the wind up still at number two, he's probably going to have to go ahead and take that quarterback this year. Which, if that goes the case, you know, obviously I got Bradley Chubb to Cleveland, and I have Saquon Barkley going number five. And Quentin Nelson, or you don't want Chubb in Cleveland? You want him playing that way against opposite of
No. No, not against him. No, I don't. I don't want that twice a year at all. Him and freaking Buddy from last year? No, I don't want that at all.
Yeah.
Garrett. I don't want him and Garrett at all. No. At all.
Have Quentin Nelson. Obviously, Indianapolis needs some major help on their offensive line. Having him going six to Indy. Derwin James, safety, going to Tampa at number seven. Denzel Ward, JQ familiar with him for Ohio State, going number eight to Chicago.
Yes, sir.
One of the biggest moves I have in the draft is Courtland Sutton, wide receiver from SMU, going up to number nine at San Fran. And I think when you look at the head coach there, give me his name again, Andre. San Francisco.
Shanahan.
Yeah, Shanahan. Mm-hmm. When you look at Shanahan, he's looking at getting another piece to help that offense and, you know, get over the hump there. And I bumped Courtland Sutton up to number nine, wide receiver from SMU. Just a few other names. Baker Mayfield, Miami is highly considered taking quarterback in this draft now. I have him going to number 11. Got to watch Buffalo. I think Miami and Buffalo are both trying to trade up to get a quarterback. But right now, if they stand pat, I have Miami taking Baker Mayfield. So we'll see if one of those teams are able to trade up. And Buffalo has more ammunition to trade up. And if the Giants do decide to not take that quarterback, there's a good chance that they could be that team that Buffalo could trade up with and move up to the number two spot. But right now, I have Minka Fitzpatrick going number 12 to Buffalo. At the moment, Roquan Smith, linebacker, Georgia at Arizona. Calvin Ridley, you know, what's Dallas going to do with Dez Bryant here? Obviously, they just signed Alan Hearns from Jacksonville, but there's a lot of question marks surrounding Dez Bryant. I have Dallas taking Calvin Ridley from Alabama. Lamar Jackson, I got him back slotted to Cincinnati. He could also be a guy that then play at Buffalo if Cincinnati. Take him, and Buffalo doesn't trade up the quarterback. He could be in play at 22 to Buffalo. He also could be in play with Arizona.
Arizona.
And the Rams got DJ Moore, wide receiver from Maryland. His stock is right past Beachster. Obviously, you lost Sammy Watkins. You're probably not going to get Odell Beckham. So, obviously, the Rams have made some major improvements in the free agency to the defense. So this might be the area where they go in a draft now. Wide receiver, playmaker, or offensive line could be another possibility there. The guards, Will Hernandez, I'm going 24 to Carolina. Isaiah Wynn to the Falcons. My Saints here, I haven't taken Mike Hughes, cornerback from Central Florida. And Sony Michel, you know, Dalvin Cook, is he going to be healthy day one from Minnesota? I have him going to Minnesota at number 30. At the moment. And let's see, a few second round highlights. Harold Landry, edge rusher from Boston College, another guy to watch. I have him going to the Giants in the second round. Sam Hubbard, defensive end, Ohio State, have him going to Indy. Dante Jackson, beat LSU to Indy as well. Colton Miller, offensive tackle from UCLA. Is a guy that possibly can get into the late first round as well. I have him going to early second, Tampa. Orlando Brown, obviously he fell down here. Some scouts still think he's a first round talent. I have him going to I have him going to Chicago in the second round. Ronald Jones really proved at his pro day that he can really catch the ball out of the backfield. We didn't see that a lot in college. I have him going to Oakland. Marshall Lynch getting up in there in age as well, so it probably could be a good pick for the Oakland Raiders. Lorenzo Carter, stud athlete from Georgia, have him going to New England. Nick Chubb, running back from Georgia to Green Bay. Mike Gesicki, tight end, Penn State, Cincinnati. Mason Rudolph, quarterback, Oklahoma State, second round, Arizona. Darius Geis, Indianapolis, with all these draft picks in the second round, have a chance to load up. They haven't taken Darius Geis, running back for LSU.
Nice pick. Nice pick.
Don't have any more no more.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk, why are you Texas A&M to Detroit? James Washington, leave Oklahoma State to Baltimore. I see Atlanta haven't taken Jesse Bates, safety from Wake Forest. And San Fran, Arden Key, who was once considered a top five pick. I'm going to San Francisco in the second round. Kerryon Johnson, running back, Auburn, Jacksonville. Kind of had a 1-2 punch with Leonard Fournette. So those are just some of the names of the second round.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Arden Key because I was just trying to get a glimpse of the defensive ends and linebackers and watch some of his highlights on YouTube. And that dude there, if he could get it together off the field, Arden Key is a man. He reminds me a lot of Carlos Dunlap from Cincinnati with those long arms and that ability just to rush the passer. But he's a fool off the field, so hopefully he gets a little, maturity in his game. I would love for Cincinnati to take Lamar Jackson, but they are all in, clearly, on the Andy Dalton train. I just don't see them letting Hernandez get past them right there. I don't. I feel like if Cincinnati looks and says, okay, we get Cordy Glenn and we get Will Hernandez for that line, we've done our part in the first round because of the trade back, with Buffalo. So I can see that being the case for them. I would love that. I just don't see that happening because of the way they feel. I just don't see Denver passing on Baker Mayfield, and I don't see Arizona letting Lamar Jackson go past. I mean, we just talked about Sue and Donald. I mean, what's the over and under on Sam Bradford in Arizona now? That L.A. defensive line. I just don't see them letting Lamar Jackson go past them. I don't. It could happen, but it's just such a glaring need for somebody that's been, to me, is being criminally undervalued with the other quarterbacks in this draft class. If I'm Arizona, I'm like, yes, please. Okay, I don't have to move up and I get them. I will be shot.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Mm. All right, JQ. JQ's been on fire this show, man. I love it, man.
I try to let you know.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's funny, Rob. I've been fighting you with you've been picking everyone but guards for the line that he gave us a guard. And I'm not really sure where they're going to go, man. I think I'm reading some stuff, man. It looks like they got a lot of guards on our roster, so I'm not quite sure where their Falcons are going to go. I definitely think they may go defense, unless they just really think that they're going to grab a guard for depth. So unless they're in a good situation to grab the best available player, so I don't know. I still think the tackle guard may be that first pick, but I'm not sure about that. That's an interesting safety pick for the second round, and we made that signing, so we'll see where the Falcons go too. So good picks. I love the. Options. I love the fact that Indiana came back around and grabbed their running back because I thought they needed a running back. They're not going to grab him first round because they've been burnt with Trent Richardson, and that's a great move for the line. They got to protect Luck, and we're going to see how Cincinnati is going to play. Or excuse me, not Cincinnati, but Cleveland. I'm going to talk about Cincinnati too as well, bro, because I love the fact that JQ keep it so real about the Andy Dalton train, man. So I don't know. It's
I'm
curious,
just saying
that like
they all in. they're.
That is so crazy.
They're all in. They honestly feel like if they get another lineman to go with Glenn and with Mixon getting last year and also having John Ross with A.J. Green and retiring Tyler Eifert for 4 years, they really feel like he'll flourish. That's why I'm like, as a Bengals fan, as I look at that, I would love that. And if somebody that's objective that looks at it and says, Andy Dalton's not that dude, if Lamar Jackson is there, you should take him. I just don't think they pull the trigger on that. When I talk about Hernandez, honestly, it's probably Isaiah Wynn because you know how Marvin Lewis feels about
Georgia.
The Georgia products. He loves the University of Georgia. And if one of their best players is available in a position of perceived need, I think that's where he's going to go.
Yeah. Mm. I agree 100%.
Yep. You got a track record of get those Georgia players or SEC.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. All right, fellas, let's wrap this show up here. Let's just talk really briefly about we're going to throw some Major League Baseball in here. Bartolo Colon, I don't know how this dude is still surviving. He is now being re-signed with the Rangers. Will he join the rotation? I'll leave that to you, JQ, and let Rob wrap up the show.
He's like 43, 45. I don't think he's going to make the rotation.
44.
They just are right in the middle. I think it just is a we don't like our depth and what's happening because they had, I believe, two of their prospects both have had are going to have Tommy John surgery, I believe, here in the next couple of months. So I think that is a piece of that sign of Bartolo Colon. If those guys don't get hurt, he doesn't get signed. I think it's just more for depth right now, and he might be in a rotation until a young guy proves themselves and can move him out of that rotation. But, you know, that dude has – he don't got 9 lives. He got, like, 16 lives. He is on another level with what he has happening right now. But it's a product of injury, like we've been talking about all night, injury.
Yeah. Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Bartolo Colon is 44 years old right now. Obviously, he's had a very established career. But right now, I think the Rangers is really clearly looking at it from a depth standpoint. I mean, Cole Hamels, Matt Moore – Doug Fister, Mike Minor, Martin Perez. That looks like their 5-man rotation with Bartolo Colon kind of as a fill-in, just-in-case kind of guy. And maybe you can use him. Maybe you can use him for long relief or a setup man here and there from a relief standpoint. So maybe that's what they have in mind for him going forward. But right now it's more so just from a depth standpoint and not from a starting pitcher out of the top five. Unit there going forward. But, 44 years old, and he's still getting contracts.
Cut that check, player. Cut that check. He said, you're going to let me play and you're going to cut me that check. I'm going to be out here in every Major League Baseball uniform available.
Dude, I thought he was trying to bring us because he wanted to, bring us down, man. That was terrible. All right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure sharing this field of battle for you tonight. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show, Rob, and let's just do it.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back on a Wednesday night next week. Wednesday night, once again, I think that's the date of April 4th on Wednesday next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You do not want to miss the show on next week. Next week, people, New York, call in. Florida, call in. Atlanta, call in. New Orleans, call in. If you're in London, call the show next week. Good night.
Budapest. No,
Boise, Idaho.
Djibouti. Djibouti.
Jakarta. Anyway, I'm just being ridiculous. I, echo those sentiments. Appreciate everybody for listening to the show, downloading and listening to the OT portion. Make sure you call in next week. I'm excited. We got, opening day. We didn't talk about that. It's this week as well. So as a baseball fan, I'm super excited till my team is out of the contention in June. Then I might not be as so excited, but I'm definitely excited right now. So we appreciate all the
Thank
love.
You.
I'll let you next week.
Yankees looking yoded. Yankees looking loaded.
Oh,
Yankees Astros World Series.
They can't. They've opened the AL.
We were saying,
you're right. You think Astros used to be in the National League. My bad. Well, Yankees and whoever.
This guy. Man, I love
Casablanca,
it.
Casablanca,
right.
Morocco,
hey,
call in next week.
Gentlemen, this is what happens. We get a little loopy whenever it gets a little late here. But, again, this was a great show to actually download for the podcast. So, again, great show, gentlemen. I love the energy. I know we were probably hyped because we were off for last week, so we got it going. So, again, we'll see you guys next week. I've been a little crazy busy. Don't think my lack of responses is off. Just one of those days, man. But
big time.
All good.
Big time.
Till
Paris, France, call in next week. Russia, call in.
He's still on fire.
All
right,
gentlemen.
He had a second win. So next week, gentlemen, next Wednesday, let's keep it going, man. We'll see about if our predictions are right. Opening day or opening week will be starting for MLB, and fun times. But all good. So next week, gentlemen, see you later. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Good night, people.
I'll let y'all.